Welcome to this week's Leader's Guide for the Fall Quarter of Life Groups. This resource is provided to help you prepare and effectively lead your group. For your convenience, you can also download a written version of this guide under Leader Tools at lifegroups.northcoastchurch.com. So let's join Pastor Dave Enns now as he introduces this week's material.
Greetings, leaders, and welcome to week number 4 of Life Groups. By now, you should have a sense of flow of your group and kind of how it's moving and going. And if you're running into any issues, like how getting everybody to talk in your group or someone's dominating, do not hesitate to call your life group pastor or leader and be able to help you work through that if you're having some difficulties there. We want to help. And again, if any other kinds of issues that are going on. A couple things is you want to continue. Again, the goal of the evening is to continue to build those relationships, dive into the life group questions, and praying together. In fact, this week, if you haven't done it yet, we would suggest breaking off into men-only, women-only groups as you close your time together, and I'll allude to that as I take you through the study guide here in a little bit. Final thing is our Real Man Weekend is coming up, and as I am recording this, we are over half full already. So if you've got some guys that are interested, or you yourself are, get signed up as soon as you can. We've had a sold out event the last 2 years, and it's just been a fantastic time for, again, spiritual renewal, but also with just with friends and camaraderie that happens with guys. It's just an incredible weekend with all kinds of options to be involved with that. Oh, and then one more thing, there's mid-quarter trainings coming up on the various campuses and times, and just check that out in your leader's guide, and it'll show you what dates on which campus those meetings are happening. Okay, well, let's dive into this week's homework helps, and now we are back to our normal flow, and our first section is the quick review. And again, that's that question that launches out there and says this: looking back at your notes from this week's teaching, was there anything you heard for the first time or caught your attention, challenged, or confused you? And again, some weeks you may spend your entire time on that question. Other weeks you may spend hardly any time and then dive into the other questions. But again, it's a helpful one to dive into the issues. I know this week's message, as every week, I was like, oh, there's so much we could talk about just off the message for the weekend. Again, your goal as you're meeting with your group is to not hear from a couple, but to hear from everyone. And so as you're asking those questions, make sure you're figuring out how to ask that and get everybody to be able to participate. You'll see that we've got 3 My Story questions. And again, you may want to choose which one of those you want to focus on, depending on how much time your group typically takes to discuss them. The first one is, this weekend we heard about the second chance story of Onesimus coming back to his hometown and church. Do you have any personal examples of a positive second chance story from your own life? If so, explain. Now, everybody's not going to have an answer to this one, so let's not go around the room and do you. It's like, hey, who has one? And so again, you may have a number of things revealed to your group, or there might not be a lot of answers there. In fact, you might want to ask this question second or third. It'll be up to you how you want to go after that question. Second question is, when it comes to accepting others, we need to use good judgment and be careful of falling into one of two extremes: blind acceptance or critical judgment. Which one are you more likely to move towards? And have you seen your tendency change over time? So this is an easy question. Go around the circle. You can have everybody answer. One way would be to say, hey, what do you think? Who has an answer? And then from there, go around the circle from that person. I know for myself on this, is I've seen that change. I would say I tend to always think of myself as optimistic, and yet I can see how at points in time I was not, and I could lean that other way. But then that's how that's also changed in how it fluctuates based on what's going on in life. So it could be an interesting question there. And then finally, we've got the agree-disagree. Our acceptance of someone directly relates to how much we value them. I think the question, again, this can go both ways. In fact, I think this is what oftentimes becomes confusing. When someone does something that we don't appreciate, annoys us or whatever, we don't accept them, and we reject their whole person. and yet they're still a person of value. So how does that go back and forth, and does that tie in? In fact, you'll see one of the questions later on, we're going to address this issue and dive into it. But again, it would be a good question to go around your group and see how people answer and have some discussion on that. Okay, let's go ahead and dive into what we typically call the digging deeper section. We have actually divided up a little bit just this week. Again, just kind of mixing things up to keep variety happening within your groups. And you'll see that we have two sections. One's called the acceptance, and that has one question in it. And then the next one is called going public, which you'll see it ties in with what we heard this weekend. So the first section, the acceptance section, is all about, that's what went on with Onesimus, right? Paul came to Philemon and said, hey, here's what's all that's gone on. And Onesimus had done some stuff that wasn't good. And suddenly now he's a changed person. And the big thing that we heard is that God changes us from the inside out, and that our life should have a natural outflow of this change. It's not a personal or private relationship with God. It's a public one. And just that whole change piece. But so often we don't accept people and the things that their lives that's changing in them and affecting them and making a difference. And so this one's going to be that whole idea is what blocks us from accepting other people. The next one is going public and then living that out, and how does that work itself out. So again, discuss your reminder. You're not going to have time to answer all of these questions, thinking through which ones you want to focus in on. Here's the first one. Understanding who we are in God's eyes and his love and acceptance of us is foundational to understanding how to love and accept others. As you read each verse below, jot down what it says about God's love and acceptance, and then number each passage from 1 to 7 as most meaningful to you. So what you're going to do is there's a couple ways you could go about discussing these. You could have your group read one of the verses, and then everybody rate what number did they rate that at. And if anybody was a number or one or two, then why did you rate it that way? Or you could just have your group go through them all and say which one is most representative of your group. But then again, on those top numbers, hey, why did you rate that, and what stood out to you on that? Then there's a key sub-question that happens after this also. So you got Romans 5:8, and that's the classic passage that talks about God demonstrates his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's just that God loved us in spite of our sin and gave his life. Romans 3:23 is that the wages of sin is death. Now you're like, wait, what does that have to do with creating the image? And obviously in context alone, that is not complete. But when you read it with the rest of these, it's like, wait a minute, we've got this horrible situation with us. That is, in the context, is God loves us still, and that's why he gave his life. And then we have Matthew 10:29-31. It says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. And again, how God intrinsically knows who we are, cares for us so incredibly deeply. And then you've got John 3:16, the classic, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that we might have life. And then Genesis 1:27, how it talks about in the creation of Adam and Eve, they created in God's image. And this is a powerful passage because it shows the great worth of all of humanity. Every individual, no matter who they are, what they've done, are of great worth because they're created in the image of God. And then you have Psalms 139:13-14. And talking about how God is intrinsically involved in our creation while we are being created in the womb of our mother before we're born. And just, again, another powerful picture there. And then finally, 1 Peter 2:9 speaks about how as followers of Jesus, we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, God's special possession. So again, that sense of great value and of great worth. So what we'll have them do is, as mentioned earlier, is have them rate which one's the most important to them, starting from 1 to 7. So again, an interesting way to dig into this and find out what's catching people's attention and applying it here. But then the sub question here is key here. It says, then think of a person you've had a hard time accepting. Don't write down or say their name. And of course, we don't want any gossip or critical talk about people. Be careful of that. But what would it make any difference if you applied these verses to them? If so, explain. In other words, when we read those verses, we're like, okay, this is what it means for me, how I am of great worth. Well, who is that person that you're having a hard time accepting? And if these things are true, all except actually 1 Peter 2:9, if they're not a follower of Jesus, it doesn't apply on that one, but all the rest do. They all apply to who they are of their great worth. Does it affect how you respond to them or engage with them? You're gonna have different responses to that and see, what does that mean and how does that work itself out? An additional question that you could ask here is, how might we confuse acceptance with trust? And again, this is kind of nuancing from the my story question. And again, what motivation do these verses add to acceptance of others? So these are a couple other verses you could add is Romans 12, 14 through 21 and Matthew 5, 38 through 47. And this is part of this is love your enemies. It's going the extra mile. And it's all about what does it mean to truly love and care for others. So again, one of the things that becomes difficult is when we start talking about acceptance, we begin to think about approval of immorality or wrongdoing. And that is, we can accept someone, but we can still see value in who they are. But it's important that we still do value them as God values them. So I can accept someone for who they are. I can value for someone for who they are, but I may not trust them. And again, that's another piece. I cannot trust someone, but I can still value them. Trust comes from ongoing character that we see in action. Onesimus, here what we see with Philemon is he had left, and then Paul was his quote-unquote voucher, or said he saw the difference, as we heard Chris talk about this weekend. And the key question here is if we are living out our faith as not personal or private, but public, what holds us back from that, about showing God's love when it really is tough and makes a difference? And so the key question here is to ask is, hey, is there someone you need to show more respect to because they are of value? Okay, we're going to go ahead and transition to the next section, and we're calling it going public. So again, I have a couple of questions here. And the first one is, followers of Jesus are called to live out God's purpose and plan to reach others for Him, which we heard from Chris this weekend. So the question is what is your response to this? And so this is a great question to have everyone answer. And what are our options? Yes, no, nervous, not sure what that means, and other. And so again, you're going to have a variety of responses. And what does this mean? It'd be the question that you can dive into. Then the second question begins to dig in and take a closer look at this. Here's what it is. As we heard this week, sharing our faith should be a natural outflow of our commitment to Jesus. The passages below help us bring some clarity to what this can look like. As you read each passage, jot down everything each verse says about reaching and impacting others for Jesus. You know, the word Chris used this weekend in the message is that it's about sharing our faith. So what does that mean? Does that mean telling other people about Jesus? Well, if they ask us, yes. Now, what if I don't know how to tell them about it? Well, bring them to church, have them come talk to us, tell them you don't know, but you want someone else to explain it. So, but what does that mean? Because we so often think, well, sharing means just verbal. And it does mean verbal. We do need to speak and give, again, we don't have to give a deep intellectual answer by any means. But it's like, hey, I'm following Jesus, and that's what we have community for, to help us explain it if that's difficult. What these verses do is add, well, what is it all about? Is it just about that? Well, 1 Corinthians is Paul talking about how to reach people for Jesus in 19 through 23. And he talks about in that passage to become all things to all people that you might win the more. In other words, adapt to your situation, be with the people, relate to the people and who they are in their talk. Does that mean go do anything to, again, kind of move? And obviously not to go be immoral. People will be taking that completely out of context. But it's understanding people's worlds and investigating. It's all about asking questions to people, engaging in their life and understanding, and not being about my agenda, but about trying to find out how to relate and care for them. Colossians 4, 2 through 6 is a powerful passage that talks about devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which am I in chains. So here's Paul. He is in prison at this point. And he's saying, hey, pray for an open door that I can tell people about Jesus. Then he says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. I can be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be full of grace. In other words, be a kind person, be forgiving, seasoned with salt. Salt, we think salty and burn possibly, but salt adds flavor so that you may know how to answer everyone. In other words, again, that you're being kind, you're engaging in with who people are, again, adding that other one of becoming all things to all people. And then John 13:34 talks about they will know us by our love. How's your love quotient? How would you rate yourself in that? And again, you could additional question you could say is, hey, how is your love meter towards people, your kindness meter towards people? Is it high or low? What causes it to go low? What causes it to go high? All of those questions, additional questions that you could ask under that passage of scripture. Now, the sub question gives you very specific questions you can ask. As you look back at what you wrote above, use the symbols below to indicate what your response is. And you see we've got an exclamation point. I'm on it and don't want to forget it. Then put an asterisk. That sounds challenging. And then question mark, not sure what that means. So that gives you an easy way so you can read through each of those passages, have people jot it down, and then find out what their symbols were. And again, a different way to go about getting answers to these. Okay, from there you move into the taking it home section. And again, you could even, that last sub question in the going public question there, you could divide into men only, women only, and use that as kind of your application, and then sharing. Again, as I mentioned earlier, if you haven't divided up, I encourage you to do that this week, and then make sure you give plenty of time to take prayer requests and to find out what's going on with everyone. The question there is looking back at this week's teaching, what's most important for you to remember when it comes to living out God's purpose and plan in your life? So looking back at the sermon notes and your study questions, what's catching your attention there? If your group's familiar praying with one another, feels comfortable with that, you might want to, here's a suggestion for prayers. You might want to go back and use Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 through 6 as a prayer guide, as praying each one of those things, taking turns and reading that verse and just praying that you can, praying for open doors, praying that you can speak with wisdom and have kind words in the midst of that. And then also, if you may want to say, hey, is there anybody specifically you want to pray for the opportunity to be able to encourage and come alongside, and whether it's invite them to church, share Jesus with them, that opportunity to ask them just where they're at spiritually, again, and based on the relationship of who they have or who they are. Well, leaders, that's all we have for this week. And again, I hope you have a great next meeting with your group. And thanks for all you do of gathering your people together. Have a great next meeting.